Hello, and welcome to the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast. I'm Carl from selfsufficienthub.com, and I'm here to talk about all things self-sufficiency, all things homesteading, and about how we can reduce the gap between our consumption and our production. Sustainability and food security matters. Hello everyone, and welcome to episode 353 of the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast. I hope you're all safe and well. Today we're going to be talking about container growing as part of our Small Spaces series. If you have a limited space within which to grow, then certainly utilising containers is going to be something that you're familiar with. It's certainly something we're using now more than we did before, but it doesn't have to be just because you have a small space. Like I say, it is our Small Spaces series that we're in at the moment, and that's going to be why we're talking about it, but it doesn't have to be the reason that you use containers. They can be super useful, and we're going to be talking about how you grow in containers, why you might choose to grow in containers, what all the things are that you need to think about if you're growing in containers versus growing in the ground, because there are some different considerations. But we're also going to get into some of the advantages of growing in containers, and perhaps you might choose to grow in containers even though you have lots and lots of space. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. There will be a patrons draw on Friday as well. So if you are a patron of the show, please do tune in on Friday. We'll be giving away one of the books from my downsized library as we move house. And this Friday, we're going to be giving away The Country Cook by Philippa Davenport. I absolutely love this book. I've read it from cover to cover. It's got all sorts of recipes in here based around seasonal eating and sort of really old-timey types of foods and different ways of cooking. Talks about cooking with game, talks about cooking with vegetables and fruits and all of the produce that you're going to make throughout the year and all the different ways you might use it. It's a fantastic book that I'm sure will be well suited to any one of your kitchens. All of you listeners, it's our type of book. It's our type of cookbook, and we'll be giving that away on Friday. Right, today's show then: container growing and growing in small spaces, as we've found here. Particularly if you're just setting up, then growing in containers is a great way of getting off the ground, getting up and running nice and quickly. But it's also a way of managing space if you've got patios and paved areas that you want to add some additional growing space to. Then containers can solve that problem. They can also make spaces that otherwise you wouldn't be able to grow in, like on top of garden walls, or perhaps tucked around patio furniture, or even in your driveway where you park the car. All these different spaces on a flat roof, maybe, if you've got some space that gets some sun but you've got no way of growing things there because there's no ground, there's no soil, then by using containers we can absolutely do that and increase our growing potential. Now, the sort of big picture overall way of looking at it, I always think, is about, I think when we talk about growing plants, it's always best to try and just understand what the plant does naturally. And naturally, of course, it has access to the soil and the soil food web that I speak about all the time. It has access to a vast amount of nutrients and a really big space. Even though its roots might not take up all of that space, it's part of a much, much bigger ecosystem. And as a result, it's part of a much, much more robust and resilient ecosystem that's less likely to suffer from drought or flooding. You know, in a really small area, it doesn't take a long time for something to dry out. Whereas in our gardens, we can perhaps go without, once our plants are established, we can go without watering our gardens for weeks on end, even if we're not getting rain, depending on how we're managing them, because the soil just underneath the surface is still going to be moist. Well, that's not necessarily the case for containers. So we need to just be aware of those differences, and that should be our start point for thinking about how we're going to look after our plants slightly differently. And the same applies for nutrients as well. As I've mentioned before, but not for a long, long time, I don't think, but it bears repeating, Plants require not just water, but obviously the nutrients that are in our soil. And if we're doing all the things that we talk about here at Self Sufficient Herb all the time, then all of our soils are going to be really, really rich in nutrients. And that's great. But the plants need the moisture in the soil to actually get hold of any of those nutrients. They can't transfer them into their root systems unless the ground is moist. So it's really important that things don't dry out. Even if you've got a nice healthy plant, if it's absolutely bone dry in the soil, you might have a plant that can last a few days without any water, but it's also having to go a few days without receiving any of those nutrients that it gets from the soil. So it's really important that we manage those moisture levels. When we're talking about container gardening, that's obviously much more critical because we're far more prone to drying out. So that's the first thing, the sort of big picture. Then when we think about filling our containers and what we're going to put in them, I think obviously ideal would be compost. If we're making our own compost or we've got access to compost, then compost is going to be by far the best way we can fill our pots to start with and give all our plants a head start, because it's that perfect balance of nutrients and organic matter that's already rotten down and is just ready to be taken on by those plants. And by using compost, we're giving it its best possible start. But we can always, if we don't have access to lots of compost, but we've got some soil, we can use garden soil and maybe mix with that some manure. There are lots of amendments that we talk about using on our gardens, whether it's compost, mulches, manures, or even compost teas. And we can use all of these things and the same principles that we would use in our garden, in our pots. The only thing to be aware of, it comes back to how I started by saying that it's a much smaller ecosystem. So these things are prone to running out much, much easier, or much, much quicker, should I say, because our plants don't get to send roots down into the subsoil and the clay and whatever you've got underneath your top layer of compost and access all of those nutrients as well. So we're going to want to be more vigilant about topping up our pots with additional, whether it's compost or manure. I think what we need to be aware of is that we've got a finite space in our pot. So if we just continually add compost to the top, I don't think that we're going to be, in the long, long run, you know, over several seasons, we're probably not going to be adding quite enough to allow our plants to actually take on everything that they need. Now, the soil level will gradually reduce because we need to remember that we're seeing that foliage and we're seeing those fruits or those vegetables take on, and all of the actual matter that's within them has been drawn in tiny, tiny amounts through the nutrients in the soil. So it will gradually deplete in both size and in obviously nutrients level. So we're going to want to think about topping it up with really high levels of nutrients per gram, if you like. So the best way, I think, of getting that in there is by using manure. So obviously you want to add well rotted manure, but if you can get that added to your soil in your pots, then over time I think that's going to be the best way of maintaining the sort of levels that you need if you don't want to use shop bought fertilizers, as I certainly don't. But if you are happy to do that, then shop-bought fertilizers is definitely one way you can go to help maintain those nutrient levels. And of course, just by monitoring your plants and checking where they're at, you're going to be able to tell if your plant's healthy or not. You know, do the leaves look lush and green? Is it putting on the same amount of growth as you would expect? Are you getting fruits? Are those fruits maturing? If all of those things are going right, then your plants are getting everything they need. But if they're not, and ideally before they're not, you know, you want to keep topping up those levels. And we can do that through, like I say, adding manure, I think, is probably top of my list into how I would like to do it. So we're going to try and make a separate compost pile, which is basically just manure from our chickens and whatever other manure we can get. And manure is something, if you live in a rural area like we do, I'm not sure how prevalent this is elsewhere, but you can pass by farms and on the side of the road, they'll have a little sign up saying well-rotted manure. And sometimes it's free and sometimes it's very, very cheap. But, you know, you can usually pick that up for about £1, one English pound, for a nice big bag with probably 10 to 20 kilograms in it. And that's a really cheap way of getting all the nutrients that you need into your pots. And we're going to be using that method to subsidise whatever we can't produce here ourselves. But of course, we can use compost teas. That's another thing we can do. So we spoke about that on a recent episode, which you can go back and check out. But we can make compost teas out of comfrey and nettle and things like that. And these are plants that really accumulate lots and lots of nutrients. And by making teas where we basically allow those plants to break down in water, we can then take that liquid and use that to water our plants with, if they're in containers, to add those nutrients to it. But for long-term nutrient addition to pot plants, I think it's manure. That's definitely the way to go for me, because I want something that's going to not only be an additional benefit when I add it, like compost tea will be, but I want something that's going to be almost slow release and is going to release those nutrients over a longer period of time. Now, again, when we're talking about pots, and like we said at the start, we don't have access to that huge ecosystem that we do when we're planting into the ground. But by using the biggest pots we can get closer to that. So rather than planting, I know one in their right mind would plant one carrot in a small individual pot, but just for the sake of this argument, if you imagine you've got 20 tiny little pots, each with a carrot in it, well, that doesn't make much sense. Get one big pot, plant all your carrots in it, and then you're going to have a far more robust system. Now, you can extrapolate that out, of course, and try and grow in bigger pots where you can. And you don't necessarily need to grow just one plant per pot. We can use all of the same intercropping and companion planting ideas that we do in our garden in pots. And the larger the pot, the easier it's going to be to maintain things like water levels and nutrient levels. And over time, you're actually going to be able to create your own soil food web in that space, because over the seasons, things like, you know, the microbacteria and the organisms that are in your soil are eventually going to colonize and populate the soil in your pot. And if you can introduce a little bit of the soil from your actual garden, even if it's just a cupful, then that's going to help to impregnate your pots and get them going. You can even introduce some worms and things in there. And these are all going to help to turn in the compost and the manure and break that down as you add it. Which brings me to the next thing, which is mulches. And I think it's a really good idea to mulch your pots just like you would your garden soil for exactly the same reasons. It's again going to help it not dry out quite so fast. And if you've got some worms in there that are going to turn it in and gradually break it down and turn it into the soil underneath, then you're also feeding your soil that way. So it's a case of just thinking about how can we replicate what we're doing on the rest of our garden and introduce these systems into pots. That's really the goal here, at least when I'm thinking about it. Now, when it comes to moisture management, which we've mentioned a few times, you need to be aware as well that it can be sort of plant specific. We've got plants that we've lost this year in containers through overwatering. Sage is one of them, and we've just overwatered it because we've watered it when we've watered all our other plants, and it's just been too much, and we've actually lost a couple of sage plants through that. So just be aware of what your plant's needs are. Do a little bit of research and just check, you know, is this a plant that likes to have dry roots? Do we need to let the soil almost dry out before we water? So maybe we're not watering more than once a week, say, or is this a plant that can take loads and loads of moisture, particularly when it's going to fruit? If you're growing things like cucumbers in a container, you're going to want to water them every single day, I would think, particularly when they're fruiting, and lots of water with it. You can't really overwater a fruiting cucumber, but that's not the same as a lot of our herbs and some of our other plants. And from my experience, we have generally lost more seeds, seedlings and plants to overwatering than underwatering. It's one of my blind spots, if you like. It's something I'm not very good at, and it's taking me a long, long time to learn it. Now, you can grow almost anything in containers, and I'm going to go through a list of some of the things that we have grown or are growing in containers and some of the advantages through growing in containers. And these are some of these things we're only growing in containers because of the advantages they give us. So let's start with carrots. Carrots are something that we're growing in containers, and we usually only grow them in containers. We've got a few in our big garden this year in our vegetable patch, but generally we would only grow them in containers. And that's because in the past we've had trouble with carrots not growing really nice and deep and straight. And it is a tricky thing, particularly if you've got a well-established piece of ground that's maybe got a few stones in it, and those carrots are going to struggle to form those nice roots that you want in stony ground and hard ground. Whereas if you create a lovely fluffy compost bed, those carrots are going to grow really lovely long fat tubers, which is what we want. Not tubers, sorry, roots, my apologies. But talking of tubers, the next thing that we grow in containers quite often, and it's what we're doing this year, is potatoes. And potatoes grow really well in containers, and one of the advantages to growing potatoes in containers is just the amount of space that they take up in the bed. You put them in containers and you're not having to worry about the sort of space they're going to be taking up in your vegetable bed, even if you have one. And if you don't have one, of course, growing in containers is a great way of getting your potatoes. The other thing with potatoes is they disturb the ground. You know, when you harvest them all around them, it's really difficult to not disturb the ground. So it's difficult to intercrop and grow things in and around potatoes. So they can take up quite a lot of space, and growing them in containers means you don't have to worry too much about that. Now, another advantage to growing in containers, and we're going to talk about two different plants next that we're growing in containers this year, is management of pests. So in the past, we've grown parsnips in containers because that's the only place we could grow them. At our last property, we had a nematode in the ground that would cause, I'm not sure if it's clubroot or if clubroot is just for brassicas, but a similar kind of problem with our parsnips because of a nematode that was in the soil. So we just couldn't grow them in our main vegetable bed, but we could grow them in containers quite happily. And this year we're having trouble with, I think, cutworms. We're not 100% sure, but something is just absolutely destroying our beetroot crop. So we're going to be growing them in containers where we can hopefully manage the pest issues that little bit easier. So we're going to introduce some compost to a pot, which hopefully won't have any of the cutworms in. And then we're going to grow our beetroot in there, and it's going to mean that we don't have to worry about them getting attacked. Another advantage, the advantages can go on and on. Another advantage of growing things in containers is something else we grow in containers is ground cherries, because they are a perennial that is frost tender. So it means that we can overwinter them in our little polytunnel. And if you don't have a polytunnel, you can overwinter things in your house. So it means you can grow maybe a little bit of citrus if you otherwise couldn't. Or, like I said, ground cherries is one of the things we grow. And it means that in the winter, we can just put it in the polytunnel, protect it from the worst of the frost, and it will come back the following year. Another advantage to growing things in containers, and this is particularly prevalent if you've just moved house or if you're just setting up a garden for the first time, is it means you can get things growing straight away without having to necessarily do any garden design and work out where things are going. And as we know from the first of the permaculture principles, we want to really observe our garden for a year or so before we make any permanent decisions about it. So growing things in containers like we are this year with herbs means we can really work out exactly where we want our herb garden before we go and establish something permanent next year. So having a mobile garden can be really, really useful. Having a mobile garden is also useful for managing things like light, the light levels that you get in your garden. Talking back to last week's episode, it means if you wanted to, now I'm not sure who has the time for this, but if you wanted to, you could literally move things so that they're in the area that gets morning sun in the morning and afternoon sun in the afternoon to really give things a head start. That's a great idea if you've got the time when things are just starting out. So these are all advantages of growing things in containers. So it doesn't all have to be a detriment. You know, some things are actually beneficial about growing things in containers. But that list that I've given you is far from complete. There's so many things you can grow in containers, almost anything. I'm struggling to think of anything You can't. Broad beans also grow really well in containers. Lettuce and salads, peas, onions, spinach. These things will all grow really, really well in containers. And as I'm speaking to you, something else has just popped in my head as another advantage for growing things in containers. Perhaps if you're growing something like we've done in the past, and that is artichokes, not globe artichokes, but Jerusalem artichokes, they have a tendency to not all be dug up and kind of self-seed a little bit too much. If anyone has ever grown Jerusalem artichokes in the garden, you'll know it's a very, very common problem gardeners can complain about them spreading and kind of taking over and having too many Jerusalem artichokes. Well, containing them in a big container is a great way of solving that issue. And you could use that for things like horseradish as well, that some people complain that it spreads and takes over. And of course, mint. Mint is something I would never, ever, ever grow unless I was growing in a container, at least not deliberately, because it has a propensity to really become a weed and take over. So that's just yet another advantage of growing in containers. So hopefully that's been a bit useful for you guys, and it's encouraged you to not be disheartened if you think you've run out of space, and maybe find some space for some containers that you can do a little bit more growing in and increase your yields that way, because it is a great opportunity for us to grow things that perhaps we didn't think we had the space for, or grow things in different ways and maybe experiment a bit. And perhaps some of the problems you're having with some of your plants can actually be alleviated through growing in containers. Lots and lots and lots to do that can really be beneficial if we just put our thinking caps on and plan our gardens and go about things in the right way, using all of the different tools available to us, which definitely includes growing in containers. Thank you ever so much for listening, guys. I'll be back on Wednesday, and I'm not sure what we'll be talking about then, but I'll speak to you soon. Cheers. This episode of the Self-Sufficient Herb podcast was brought to you by our patrons. You guys are awesome. If you'd like to support the show, there's lots of ways you can do it. The easiest of which is just to like and review it wherever you get our podcasts. You can also tell somebody about it, whether that's on social media or just face to face with a friend who you think might benefit from it. But however you support our podcast, we really, really appreciate it. If you'd like to become a patron, please consider doing so by going to patreon.com/selfsufficienthub. However you support the podcast, it's listeners like you that make all of this possible. Thank you ever so much for listening, and I'll speak to you really soon.